For here they all were, back in the dark where they had begun, hunting monsters. Progress, he muttered.
Your moods are black of late, brother, said Samariel.
The galaxy is black. My mood but bears its reflection. Samariel had little to offer but a nod. Valiel and Brunor advanced cautiously past them into the cloister. Though they moved with exaggerated caution, every step they took was accompanied by an overloud sound. The light from Brother Paladin Castale's power sword conferred a weak ambient gloom to a distance of about 3 meters.
Still dark, muttered Holguin.
Samariel slid on his helmet. There was a click, the lenses flickering red as his various systems auto-engaged.
Then we hunt in the dark, he said.
3. Farith Redloss felt the tremor through the skeleton of the ship, in the tinkling of the armor displays on their pedestals. The void battle was almost over, but not quite. A human, even an experienced naval officer, might have dismissed the vibrations as aftershocks from the gunnery decks or the mild inertial stresses of a course correction. But Redloss had a fine-honed understanding of weaponry at every scale. That had been a hull impact. He looked up. This part of the suite of chambers was striped with armored skylights. Unblinking stars filled the view. The vast gulfs of space swallowed all sign of the apocalyptic level of hell being unleashed upon the wider system. That told him one important thing. It was not nearly apocalyptic enough.
That was a shield impact, Gawain observed.
The young legionary, one of the last to have joined the Primarch's battle group since contact with Caliban had been severed, followed his lieutenant's example and looked up. The shafting skylight rendered his pale Calibanite features ephemeral. The skull in hourglass symbol of the Dreadwing shone eerily against the darkened ceramite of his pauldron. Myriad tokens of allegiance and initiation, esoteric markers to secret hierarchies that even Redloss could never be fully privy to, adorned the worn plate further still.
No, said Redloss.
What makes you say that?
Redloss could have spoken of the pitch and duration of the vibration, of metal tolerances and void shield disfacement patterns, but he did not. He glanced to Danaeus, his voted second, who dipped his head slightly, his white face otherwise inscrutable.
One day, brother, Redloss said, taking Gawain by the shoulder, when you have progressed further along the spiral path, you will have proven yourself ready for such knowledge.
Gawain bowed his head.
I understand.
Redloss's gaze returned to the skylights.
It was a hull impact. The shields are down, hissed Werin.
The helmeted legionary held the point position of the 5-man squad of destroyers, covering the quiet empty hall with a Volkite Serpenta aimed from the shoulder. If he was experiencing any hesitation about entering these chambers so armed and in such company, then he masked it with the skill of the first. Horus's war had pitted brother against brother, father against son. This intrusion felt like a small betrayal in the grand scheme of things. Most betrayals probably did at the outset.
Not necessarily, brother, said Redloss. Most likely Stennius has sailed us into a piece of debris.
Gawain snorted.
Or a boarding torpedo, said Danaeus.
Gawain, Werin, and Melwyn tightened their grips on the weaponry. Redloss frowned at their overreaction. He had trained them better than that.
The last gasp of a rotten corpse, he said. There is nothing that this system can throw at the invincible reason that Brother Stennius cannot contend with. We are the Dark Angels, brothers. We are death, and we have a quarry of our own to concern ourselves with here.
That had the desired effect of focusing their minds. This was not the first time that the Sons of Caliban had hunted a Primarch through their own ship. Redloss had not yet been aboard at that time, but he had been there in Illyrium, when the Lion had finally put a sword through Conrad Kerr's.